Good evening. Got a Bible, I hope. Okay. Let's start in Ecclesiastes tonight. So around the middle of your Bible and then maybe a little to the right. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. If you find Psalms, keep going to the right. You find Proverbs next and then Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Interesting little book, Ecclesiastes. A really depressing book. And Solomon writes to us about the condition of how things are under the sun. Down here, his perspective is earthly when he writes, but there's a lot of very interesting things in this little book. We'll look at just one little thing in chapter 8 to start us on the continued theme of keep thy heart. This will be the third part. Of keep thy heart. So chapter 8, verse 5. Watch for the word heart. Actually, why don't you back up to verse 4. It's a neat verse. 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? I'm not going to belabor this verse, but it's a neat verse in this respect. This is not the verse I wanted to go to, but I had to read it before we read verse 5. What kind of Bible you have? A what, James? King James. I think that's a neat verse when you consider God's preserved word in the English language is the word of a king. It was translated under the authority of a king. On the spine of my Bible, it says authorized version. The King James, oftentimes known as the AV or the Authorized King James Version. That's pretty neat. So if you don't have a King James Version, let's say you have a New International or a English Standard Version, you know what you're missing? What are you missing? The Word of God. But according to the verse, that's not the word of a king. So what's it lack? All those versions lack what? What's the verse say? What's the verse say, though? Power. And you better believe those other versions lack the power of your King James Bible. So just a fun one there. Look at verse 5. This is where I'd like to start. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Notice the connection between keeping the commandments and the heart of a wise man. There is a connection there. You will not have a wise heart if you don't keep God's commands. Notice it says there, the last part of verse 5, a wise man's heart, what does it do? Discerneth. Notice what it discerns. This is a neat little verse to pick apart. It discerneth both time and judgment. Do you know what time it is? And I'm not talking about 7:30, 7:45, whatever it may be. Do you know what time it is in history? If you've been here on Sunday nights, we've been going through this. And the time very likely is the, if not the last days, very, very close to the last days. That's what time it is. You don't know that if you don't have a Bible. Notice what else it says. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And this is what the world lacks, isn't it? They greatly lack good judgment because no word of God, no good judgment. If you possess the word of God, God gives you a discerning heart and good judgment. Very interesting. So I wanted to start there with a verse that talks about the heart, and it just happens to be directly related to keeping the commands, a wise man's heart related to keeping God's commands. So with that in mind, I just wanted to have an introductory verse to start us off. I want to remind us of where we've been. We've talked about how belief flows out of the heart. Romans 10:9, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then according to what we just read, obedience, in this case, obedience to God, flows out of the heart. So we talked about the heart is the real you. We know who you really are if we were able to see inside your heart. And over time, the real you, your heart, is revealed through your attitudes, your actions, and your words. So now, if you would, go back to the left and go to 1 Chronicles. I have three hearts we're going to look at tonight, three different types of hearts. And let's take a look at this first one. 1 Chronicles 12. 1 Chronicles 12. First heart of the night is one that you want to avoid. You don't want to have this kind of heart. So, like the Lord lays out in His Word, we'll start with the negative and end with the positive. 1 Chronicles 12, go down to verse 33. 1 Chronicles 12, 33. This is all about David's mighty men. And the verse we'll read is going to tell us about the men of Zebulun who followed David. Look at verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000. Which could keep rank. Watch this. They were not of double hearts. They were not of double hearts. Now I'm going to ask y'all to chime in here. A double-hearted person, what would characterize that type of individual? That is not a desirable heart. But you have probably known double-hearted people. Give me some characteristics of a double-hearted person. Yes. Did you see my notes? I have that written down. We might say two-faced. Or people who have divided loyalties. There's people that in front of you, when you're talking to them, they're one way, and it seems like they like you. And then they turn around, then talk to somebody else, and they're talking about you, and it's not good. That's a person that has a double heart. They have divided loyalties. Now, I see this with kids. They'll act a certain way around adults. And what they try to do in acting around adults is they'll say to themselves, I want to make sure I impress this person so I can win them over. Because kids want adults on their side. But they play this game to do it. And then they get around kids their own age, and they sound like a completely different person, and they will just go on and on about the disdain they have for the adults. And they're saying this to the kids their age, but they're saying two different things. Around one group, they say one thing. Around the other group, they say something different. And it looks like they like the adults when they're around the adults, and then it looks like they don't like the adults when they're around the kids. So this is a person who has a double heart, divided loyalties. Beware of this. Some good verses on double heart or double-mindedness here we'll look at. Go to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. This thing about double heart, you want to avoid this. Psalm 12. First couple verses of Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Isn't that the truth? There's just a shortage of faithful people in our world today, isn't there? So that verse is written right before verse 2, where you'll see the type of heart we're talking about. Verse 2 says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips. Isn't that the truth? Flattering lips. And with a double heart, do they speak? So, what goes hand in hand with a double heart? Well, we've talked about how there's a connection between the heart and the mouth. And in verse 2, you see a double heart goes along with what kind of lips? Flattering lips. Now, we are in 2023. You know, we're a little over a year away from, oh boy, election time. You better watch out for the flatterers. You will hear all kinds of promises made for one reason. Politicians make campaign promises for one reason. And what is that, folks? Get your vote. And once they get your vote, they don't even care a thing about you. Now, I know that's not all politicians, but that's probably 99% of them. Flattering lips and a double heart. So watch out for that kind of individual, because look at verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. And the tongue that speaketh proud things. So notice that we're talking about a double heart, but last week we talked about a proud heart, and they sure do seem to be similar, a double-hearted person and a proud-hearted person. So beware of that. Beware of that whenever you're dealing with people, and also beware of that as all of us as individuals. You got to watch out for that. You got to stay on guard. Be sober. Be vigilant. Now, you can write this verse down in the New Testament. There's a couple of good verses in the book of James. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I know it says mind instead of heart, and they're not exactly the same, but they are similar and they are related. Double heart, double mind, you'll see some things that match. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So how do you get rid of a double mind or a double heart? What do you need to do? You need to get a pure heart. That's what you need. And a pure heart only comes about by the blood of Jesus Christ. And having that walk, that daily walk, all day long with the Lord, walking in His steps. And I'll give you one more verse here. Double mind, double heart. They seem to go together. I looked at that word double throughout the Scriptures, and I found another one that goes along with it. 1 Timothy 3:8 is a warning to deacons that they be not double-tongued. So I think the Lord did this on purpose. Double heart, double mind, double tongue. All three of them are different, but they sure do work hand in hand. So be careful about that. Double heart is a heart you want to avoid, and you also want to ask the Lord for discernment to recognize it when you're dealing with people, because you cannot trust a person that has a double heart. So, I'm not asking a baseball question, but it actually kind of matches. What's the opposite of double? This is not the math-savvy crowd I see. What's half of a double? How about that? A single. I should have said it better. My fault, Miss Diane. Half of a double is a single. Maybe I should have said ice cream. Half of a double dip is a single dip. Then you would have been, I'd have been talking your language, right? Double heart, single heart. This is the heart you want. You want a single heart. You say, what's that all about? There's some neat scriptures on this. Go to Acts chapter 2. These are in the New Testament here. Three verses about being single-hearted. All three of these in the New Testament. This is pretty neat. Acts chapter 2. Avoid a double heart. Embrace a single heart. You say, what is that? Well, let's let the Scriptures tell us and see what we can learn. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. So early here in the book of Acts, the church is forming. The apostles are just absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ. Got great boldness. And look what happens down here in verse 44. 2:44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. And what else? Singleness of heart. I'll read verse 47 in a moment, but you get a clue about what singleness of heart is if you read all of verse 46. The first part of verse 46 says they continued daily with one accord. So what does that mean? They were of one accord in the temple. The idea there is unity. They were all together. They're all on the same page. They have the same doctrine. They had the same Savior. They had the same mission in getting the gospel to the world. And it says there, they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at verse 47. Look what goes along with being of single heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the idea is that instead of being divided, there is unity with the same goals and mission, and the early church most definitely had a single-hearted mission. So this is a heart you want to embrace, a single heart, or to be single-hearted. So a couple more verses on that. Go to Ephesians 6. Now that's in a corporate setting. That's the church being of singleness of heart. That's a bunch of people being unified behind Jesus Christ. Now look at this. This will be a little more personal. Ephesians chapter 6. Commands here for us that are saved. Ephesians 6 verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto who? As unto Christ. Watch verse 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, I would guess probably everybody in the room, you've worked a job where you worked with people. Hopefully it wasn't you, but you worked with people that they worked really hard, but only when the boss was watching. And when the boss walked out of the room, they were loafing. I didn't like working with those guys because you end up working a lot harder than they do, and you're getting paid the same thing, and there ends up being a little bit of division there because of it. But if somebody was to work only when the boss is around, verse 6 really puts it plain here. It says, not with eye service as what kind of pleasers? Men pleasers. Folks, if you are of single heart, every little thing and big thing you do is done unto Jesus Christ. And you don't really have a concern for what other people think. Now, I know in a work setting, I think this matches a work setting. You obviously want to please your boss. You want to do what he asks you to do, he or she asks you to do. You want to be a hard worker, have that reputation as a Bible-believing Christian. And you want to do it all the time, not just some of the time. Because even if the boss is not around, isn't it interesting? You don't think the boss is around, but the boss is still watching. You ever been in a situation where you didn't think the boss was watching, but they were actually watching you? Nowadays they have cameras. They can watch you no matter where you're going in your job. They know everything you're doing. But it shouldn't matter if you think the boss is watching or not. You ought to have a work ethic that is first and foremost set on, I'm doing this job to please God above all. That's my first priority. That is working with singleness of heart. One aim, one mission. I am working hard for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's a single-hearted mission. When you start having divided loyalties, well, you have a double heart, and that's obviously a problem. Go to Colossians 3. How about one more verse on a single-hearted individual? You want to embrace the single heart? You want to put away that double heart? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Go down there to verse 22. Toward the end of the chapter, you'll see a very similar verse as what we just read in Ephesians. Colossians 3, verse 22. In this chapter, he talks about the wives, the husbands, the children, the fathers. And then verse 22 starts with servants. 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. 23 goes right along with it. And whatsoever ye do, do it, this is a neat word, heartily. What do you think that means, to do it heartily? You're doing it with all your heart. So if you're going to do something, the verse says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You all, this crowd, you know this. If you're doing something to please men, even if you do everything that you possibly can to try to please them, what's going to happen sooner or later? You're going to disappoint them. They're not going to like something you do. But if you know what the Lord expects of you, and if your main goal is to please the Lord, you set your heart on that one thing, and don't worry about what everybody else thinks. And if you're really set on pleasing God, the Lord looks down and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's all that should matter. And I'll just give you a little warning here. When you live your life, first and foremost, to please the Lord, sooner or later, the world's going to have a problem with you. That's just the way it is, folks. Sooner or later. Now, I will also give you this little piece of advice. I've seen this, the Bible says this, and I've seen it from experience. I'm sure many of you have here too. If you're walking with the Lord and doing what the Lord wants you to do, people will recognize your consistency or lack thereof. And even if they're not in agreement with you spiritually, they will recognize that you have a consistency about you, and they will say to themselves, and maybe even say to you one day, there's something about that person that is unlike anything of this world. And that's good if they recognize that, because they're acknowledging that person has got to be somebody who is sold out to the Lord. That's a good testimony. You want to have a good testimony before the world. So single heart, way better than a double heart. So embrace the single heart. Get rid of that double heart. Go to Proverbs 15. Let's get this last one here. We've got just enough time here. Proverbs 15. We got the double heart out of the way. Don't want that one. Single heart. We want to have that one. Proverbs 15. We'll end on a good one here that I think you'll enjoy. Proverbs 15. 15:13. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You'll see through the Proverbs, there's a lot of contrasts. Watch the contrast in this verse. You have a merry heart to be contrasted with a sorrowful heart. So which one is a better heart to have in that verse? Obviously, you have a cheerful countenance goes along with a merry heart. A sorrowful heart is characterized by a broken spirit. Now, you have probably known people who constantly walk around with a broken spirit. You know people like that? Usually depressed. Usually not real fun to be around. It could be a result of something in their past where they've been severely mistreated or even abused. That could be the case. Or it could be they continually rebel against the Lord, and as a result, they continually have a broken spirit because of it. And if they have a broken spirit, they will not have a merry heart. So the condition of your heart is revealed by your attitude, which is seen outwardly, your actions, which are seen outwardly, and your words, which are heard outwardly. So I don't know what kind of heart you brought in here tonight, but a merry heart would be a good heart to bring into church, wouldn't it? Watch what a merry heart will do to others. Go over to Proverbs 15:15, just two verses later. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, I know y'all like to eat. Notice what that verse says. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. So, those of us who love to eat, this verse is a real smorgasbord. If you have a merry heart, you're constantly getting fed. And you know what the reason why is? You're rubbing off on people and having a good influence on people. And isn't it nice to know that your attitude, the Lord using you with a merry heart and good attitude, spirit-filled joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit. And when that's seen and it rubs off on others, it's a neat thing to look around you and see, wow, look what the Lord is doing. And you know it's not you. You know it's got nothing to do with you. Because if you know you, you know that's not you. But when it's coming out of you and it has an influence on others, you feast on that. And you say, wow, what a neat thing this is that the Lord is doing. Okay, go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. How about another one here? Two more verses. Proverbs 17. Another verse on how a merry heart affects other people. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a what? Wow, medicine. Did you know that word's in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Not the kind of medicine that often is prescribed by doctors. A different kind of medicine. This is a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But look at the contrast in this verse. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, what would you rather have? Good medicine or dry bones? Over there in Ezekiel 37, Son of man, can these bones live? And obviously they're dead because they're dry. So there's a deadness that goes along with a broken spirit in that verse. A merry heart is far better. So medicinal purposes, a merry heart. Did you know that you can have a completely changed outlook when you are around a person who has a merry heart that comes from the Lord, comes from the Holy Spirit? They will completely change your outlook. There's certain people I love to be around because I know just being in their presence is going to help me, because the Lord is using them to influence me because they got a merry heart. Because you know me, I don't always have a merry heart. I'd be lying if I said I did. And there's certain people that I seek after at certain times because I know just being around them and having a short conversation with them, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to be up here. Because their heart is affecting me like medicine. Now, I don't want to ask you about good medicine because I don't know what kind of answers I'll get out here. But there are certain medicines that can really make you feel a whole lot better when you're sick. Amen? Yeah? If you got a splitting headache and you get some ibuprofen, I don't know what works for you, but maybe it's ibuprofen, maybe it's something else. But what a relief that provides, huh? God uses people with merry hearts to give relief and help to those who are in need. A merry heart, a whole lot like medicine there. Now, go over to the last one here. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is a neat one to end on. 2 Chronicles 7, about a merry heart. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 8. Hopefully you have people that you can call or you can go see that will help you if you have a broken spirit or if you're just down in the dumps, that will have a merry heart to get you in better spirits and get you walking with the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles 7. Look at verse 8. This is a neat couple of verses here. This is Solomon becoming the king over Israel. Verse 8, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents. Watch it. Glad and merry in heart. Now, the reason I take you to this verse, I want you to see why they have merry hearts. It says, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Folks, the reason why they have gladness and merry hearts is because they acknowledge God had been really, really good to them. That's a good reason to have a merry heart. So, if the Lord has shown you goodness, and I know He has, I know y'all, show me a lot of goodness. I know y'all, same thing. You have good reason to be glad and to have a merry heart. So if you don't have a merry heart, what's the problem? Have a little self-examination of your heart. Usually you have to go to the doctor to examine your heart. You know that if you're saved, this Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this Bible will give you a heart examination. So you can do this all yourself, obviously with the Lord's help. So I ask you in closing, how is it with your heart tonight? If you have a double heart, we can't trust you. The solution to a double heart is to get a pure heart by the blood of Jesus Christ. Exchange that double heart for a single heart or singleness of heart. Focused on one thing above everything else. Pleasing God. Walking with Jesus Christ. And the result of having singleness of heart is you will have a merry heart. When this is the case, the result will be a merry heart. So I don't know how long this study will go. I think I might have broken off a whole lot more than I could chew. If we're only getting 3 a week, we might be here for a while. But I hope you're enjoying this because I am. There's so much the Bible has to say about our hearts. And remember, that's the real Michael Rockwell is who I am in my heart. The real you is who you are in your heart. And let's make sure we have a heart that is aligned with the Lord and His will. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for, once again, showing us great things from your word. What an awesome book we have that you've given us. I pray that you'd remind us in the days ahead of the danger of being double-hearted, the great need to be of singleness of heart, with a soul focused on walking with you and pleasing you, and also the need for the world to see us save people with merry hearts. And also, so we might actually have a great influence on saved people we know that are going through tough times. May we have a merry heart to help them out, just like medicine, like your word says. Help us. We need your help as we leave here tonight. We cannot walk in this life, in this world, with you on our own. We just need you to lead us and guide us and tell us which way to go, Lord. Pray you protect us till we meet each other again. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.